Amy, thank you for ministering the word today, and we're going to get blessed. Let's give Amy a hand clap.
Yeah. You forgot to mention, and that is, remember I asked you to water the plants? But good news. Did you know that at Home Depot, if you have your receipt, any plant that you buy there, you can return it completely dead, and they'll let you exchange it for a new one. Oh, and Lowe's does that too. Spoken like a true Lowe's staff member, Belinda. So that's why it was no problem when I got home and all the flowering plants were wilted up. I just loaded them up in the car yesterday, took them back, and the girl said, "What happened?" I said, "Oh, I was just out of town for a few days." And she gave me all new plants, and here's some of them right here. Let there be life. And there it was. Thank you, Lord. Emily and I were so honored to be able to go and see my precious parents and also our daughter Lindsay and her husband. And by the way, Emily and Elise, thank you for that beautiful worship today. That was just such a blessing. I loved that. And you know, many of you know that my mom is battling Alzheimer's, and so this trip, she didn't really know us too well in terms of her relationship with us, and she doesn't remember much even about who she is. But it's wonderful to get to love her unconditionally and know that one day, when she leaves her body, she's going to be fully redeemed, restored, and she'll be able to have that radiant knowing of the Lord. And she won't be confined to this body or her current state of her mind. But what was so inspirational is my precious dad, he's 84 or 83. And, you know, my dad is a military pilot. He's also been a school principal, a school teacher, built homes, general contractor. He's done a lot of different things. And the way he is doing this assignment from the Lord to care for my mama is like he's done every other assignment in his life with such great care and love. And just watching him just brought me to tears so many times seeing him over this last week. One morning I came in, they have the gospel music station playing, and he was dancing with her around the room to "All Fly Away, Oh Glory, All Fly Away." And he was singing to her and just acting silly. Of course, she'll never remember it in just a few moments. And then I watched him cutting up her watermelon for her breakfast and arranging her plate. And she won't remember it in about 5 minutes. But he did it with such care and love because of the love that he's had for her their whole lives together. And it's just inspirational to see how he's doing this assignment with such great honor to the Lord and honor for her. And it was just inspirational for me. I just was very blessed to see that. And that's what we get to do, isn't it? We get to love unconditionally. And it's very precious. So this morning I want to speak about one scripture. And if you'd like to turn there, you can. It's from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. And you know this scripture very well. It says this: "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." We're living in a time where, as the body of Christ, we've got to on purpose and intentionally decide that we're going to be immovable, that we're going to be steadfast. Because we all know that not everyone who starts well finishes well, but the Lord wants us to finish well. And He doesn't want us to be distracted or get worn out. And today, I believe the Holy Spirit is not only going to illuminate this verse to us, but He's going to pour out His grace and His strength upon us. So we're going to receive an extra dose of Him to be immovable and steadfast, that we can abound in His work. And actually, great news, it's not us working. It's us surrendering all to Him that He could work His work through us. And so, Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are the teacher this morning. We love Your word. We honor Your word. We want to be changed. And Lord, I thank You for the privilege of getting to minister your precious word today. We pray that each one of us would be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we would leave here strengthened for the journey ahead. Lord, that we might fulfill what you have called us to do and be for this time, for your glory, bearing fruit for all eternity. And all the family said, amen. I first started thinking about this word immovable, being immovable. And the reason I started thinking about it this last week, because we had the opportunity when we were in New York to go to Ellis Island. How many have ever been there? And Ellis Island is the place that every immigrant coming into our country, especially through about the years of 1910 and 1920 and the beginning of the century, you know, they would come from many different places on boats, and they would come in and they would see the Statue of Liberty there as they would come into the harbor. And then they would dock at Ellis Island, and they would all be processed through. And some of them got sent back. Others were sent to different places. But this is the place that every one of them came. And many of us here today, you have ancestors, relatives that came through Ellis Island. And you can even look for their names there. It's really inspiring to see Ellis Island. And so while we were at Ellis Island, we went to a showing of a documentary. And this is how the Lord gave me what he wanted me to speak on today, about being immovable. We went to the documentary, and this very enthusiastic woman, a docent from the museum, came in to introduce us to the documentary we were going to see. She was a definite New Yorker. She was so excited. And near the end of her inspirational talk about what we were going to see in this documentary, she relayed a story that had happened to her, and I want to share with you that story because that's how the Lord spoke to me about what this message was going to be. And she said, "You are going to be so inspired by the men and the women, the youngsters that came from the different nations. Many of you have family that came through these very doors, walked on this very ground. But I want to tell you something. A month ago, I saw, after the movie was over, I saw a family sitting right up there. No, over there. Right about there. A mother, a father, and a grandmother. And after everybody was getting their stuff, they were leaving, the movie was over, they still sat there. And I walked up and I said, 'Can I help you? Is there something the matter?' And they looked at me with tears streaming down their little faces. And they said, I can't make this up. They said, that's exactly what she said, I can't make this up. They said, I'm adding this accent. She didn't have the accent. I just am imagining this is how they said it. We are from Russia. Our parents, they came on those boats. They were coming. They left everything behind. They left their families. They left their fortune. They came over so that we could have this kind of life that we are enjoying today. And this movie, it was so moving that we cannot move. And that is how the Lord spoke to me to speak on being immovable. If this movie could be so inspirational that they are not able to move, how about God's plan for us and his word over us, and the hour that we're living being so moving, and the lives of all of the men and women and saints of God before us whose lives speak of his glory and his purposes? How much more should we be immovable, steadfast, and always abounding? And so want to just talk about a few of these words very quickly. And then I want to move on to speak about one of our favorite Bible people, and that is Shammah, one of the amazing men in the category of David's mighty men. But that word, steadfast, and let's say this together one more time. Say the scripture with me, 1 Corinthians 15:58, and say the scripture with me, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The word steadfast, sure, settled, earnestly fixed upon, fixed in a direction, steadfast. And how many of you know we need to be steadfast in these times? You turn on the news, you could have a nervous breakdown. You listen to the buzz of what's happening in our world and in our land, and you could get very worried and wring your hands. But those of us who are called by the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been redeemed, who have been set apart, in whom he abides and dwells, we are not to be moved, we are not to be in fear, but we're to be steadfast. Everybody say steadfast. Steadfast. We're not moved by the news. We're not moved by circumstances that are subject to change. But because we are the Lord's beloved, and I believe that just as Mordecai said to Esther, perhaps for such a time as this, you have been set into the kingdom, LV. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking that to us today. For such a time as this, you have been placed on the earth in the kingdom of God. And we must see each other like this because we're kingdom people. He has no other plan than the church, and we are the church. And we must be steadfast, determined. We are not going to give up. We're not going to retreat. We're not going to be moved. And we're not going to wring our hands and join in the conversation with all of the others who are in fear and wondering what's going to happen next. Next word, immovable. Everybody say immovable. Immovable is unwavering, cannot be moved off course. You know, I was thinking, we have an immovable God who's the author and the finisher. He never changes. We have an immovable Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have an immovable gospel. His word never changes. We have an unmovable kingdom of God that is going forward. And so we must be immovable, because people's souls are depending on us being immovable. His nature is immovable. His nature is in us. We must decide to be immovable. And then abounding. Abounding is from the Greek to be abundantly furnished, to abound in a thing, to have an excess, more than abundant, enough to spare, to exceed, excel, increase. You get the idea. And so at first glance, you might wonder, well, how can we be steadfast and immovable at the same time abounding? And I think the best way to describe it would be a tree. I used to live near Lebanon and had the opportunity to go to Lebanon to see these trees spoken of in the book of Psalms, the cedars of Lebanon, very interesting trees, much like the mustard seed trees, whose roots go down so deep, steadfast, immovable, and yet as they grow, their branches move out in such a way that they begin to entwine with one another and strengthen each other and provide almost like a fortress and a haven for those underneath. And so this is the idea of immovable, steadfast, roots going deep in the Lord, and yet abounding with fruit. Have you ever had in your yard an apple tree or a pecan tree or a lemon tree? And you know that those roots begin to go down deep. And at a certain time every year, those branches begin to produce leaves and blooms and fruit. They're steadfast, immovable, and yet they're always abounding with fruit. And that's the way we're supposed to be. Our roots in the Word of God going deep. Our time in worship causing us to be steadfast. our time in the secret place, causing us to be immovable. And yet, through our life and on our branches, we see fruit abounding. We see love abounding. We see hope abounding. We see the kingdom of God abounding through us as we are steadfast in Him. Staying the course. We have the Olympics. How many of you have watched the Olympics? Or you're going to be watching them as they begin because they haven't started yet. But maybe you've been watching some of the previews of the Olympics. We know that those athletes have to be steadfast. They have to be immovable and abounding. I'm thinking of warriors, soldiers, athletes, champions. This idea of perseverance and not being moved off course leads to victory. I read a quote from a man named Alex McKenzie, and he writes on leadership and qualities of leaders. And he says this: the ability to persevere on a course without distraction or diversion is the power that enables men of moderate capability to reach heights of attainment that have eluded even those most genius of persons. In other words, it's not to the smartest. It's not necessarily the most gifted. It's those that stay the course. Stay the course, remembering whose we are, who we are, and remembering that if we just don't quit, we are going to cross that finish line. Remember those Sarah Scott Scotties? Matt on the track team in junior high started off so strong and yet did not get the Sarah Scott Scotties track team sweatsuit because he quit before the finish line. I'm really sorry about that. I know that's had lasting. So let that be a reminder. Keep your eyes on the finish line. There's something to be said about just staying the course, persevering, being steadfast, not being moved off. Think about Abraham Lincoln. We all know many times, many, many times he ran for office and failed, ran for office, failed, ran for office, not elected. And after many, many, many attempts, I believe it was 14 or 15, maybe, yeah, or 9. I was counting first grade and some of the earlier attempts. I was starting from the very beginning. Abraham Lincoln, probably one of our finest presidents of all time, could have stopped after his first defeat, his second defeat, his third defeat, but what did he do? He continued to persevere. Thomas Edison, countless times of failing. What did he say every time? One more way light is not produced. Check it off the list. He persevered, he persevered, he persevered. And that's what the kind of heart and attitude that we must have. So I want to turn now to the book of 2 Samuel 23 and talk about Shammah very quickly. I love this book of 2 Samuel because we see David's mighty men who are extraordinary, skilled warriors. They're almost the special forces of the elite. And you can read in 2 Samuel about many of the people we've talked about often here at the river who could split a hair with a slingshot even in their left hand. You hear about Adonijah, who lifted a spear against 800, Abishai, Benaiah, who went into the pit on a snowy day and fought a lion. And then you read about Shammah in 2 Samuel 23. And here's Shammah, one of David's mighty men. And on this particular day, a day that was just like every other day, he was in a bean field, where peas were growing in the beef bean field, a pea bean field, peas and beans, in the field, surrounded by the people from the town who were equipped with their hoes and farming instruments. And let's just read what happened on this certain day. And after him, starting in verse 11, and we'll go to 12. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite, the Philistine. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop. And there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And so the people fled from the Philistines. But Shammah stationed himself in the middle of the field. He defended it, and he killed the Philistines. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day. And what's so remarkable to me about this story is things were just going as usual. They were in the field. They were working. As we're working today, we go about our days. And on this particular day, the Philistines showed up in all of their array, in all of their armor, and were going to defeat the Israelites. And everyone was so afraid that they fled. And Shammah, at this moment, saw his opportunity to be steadfast, immovable. And he got his sword, and he positioned himself in the middle of that field. And this is the type of heart we need to have today as God's church, that we position ourselves in the middle of the field. And as he held his sword, said he fought off all of the Philistines, and as he took this step of faith and chose this step of faith, knowing that he might die, but yet saying, if I die, I die. Reminds us of Esther, doesn't it? He positioned himself there to defend the field. And the word says here that God wrought a great victory that day. Why? Because he found a person who would not give up, not turn back, not wring their hands. And what are we going to do? It looks horrible. It looks hopeless. Shammah positioned himself, trusting in the Lord his God. And the Philistines were defeated that day. I love this story. Eliezer was another one who at one point defeated the army with such a grip and for so long that you couldn't peel his fingers from the sword. And I think for us today that we need to have such a grasp of our sword, the Word of God, knowing that we are in a battle, but we're not giving up, that even with our last breath, if need be, we are not letting go of the Word, and we're standing to defend our fields, our families, the church, the earth. We're purposing that we're going to finish our course. Now is the time that we must be immovable, positioned in the middle of the field with the Holy Spirit. We must resolve that we're not going to give up. And if we do fail, and how many of you know we might wake up and fail one day, that we don't stay down. We get up once again and we say, Lord, I'm getting up again. A righteous man might fall, but the Lord will raise him up. Raise him up. And so we can't let our failures paralyze us from going forward. We must keep our focus on the finish line. Remember Paul said, I have run the race. I have finished the course. We've got to have this mentality that we are going to be immovable and finish the course, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the living God that comes as we spend time in him, with him. When I was younger, I remember in Madrid one time, we went to a bullfight. And this picture in my mind has always stayed so clear, because I hated the bullfight because I was really rooting for the precious little bull who was very defenseless. But here you have a 1,000-pound bull and a matador with a red cape. And what has always stuck in my mind, that while that bull could have absolutely attacked the matador and was really no match for the bull. But what happened? The matador was skilled in distracting the bull with the red flag. And every time the bull would get distracted, the matador would stab the bull with one of the swords until finally that bull was so depleted of his energy and strength, he collapsed. And he was defeated. And I think in many ways, this is what happens sometimes to believers. We're distracted looking at the wrong things instead of fixing our eyes upon the Lord and taking up the Word of God and spending time in worship and gathering together as we're doing today. The Lord is saying today, don't be distracted. Don't get your eyes on the wind and the waves and the circumstances, but fix your gaze upon me. Don't be derailed by a circumstance. Don't be caught off course by a situation, but keep your focus on the Word of God and God's plan for our lives. He is needing us to be a people that are not going to get distracted, that can walk with the Holy Spirit. And so let's say this scripture again. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians. You ready? You going to say it with me together? 2 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So I just want to say in closing today, the main point, obviously, is just the Lord doesn't want us to be moved off course. And how many of us know precious family members and friends and people in our lives who have gotten derailed, gotten off course? Even sometimes we feel like giving up, don't we? But if we can on purpose say, Lord, I thank you by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will keep me from being distracted, keep me from being moved. And then we begin to arise in the power of the Holy Spirit to take our place as the men and women that He has destined us to be. We're redeemed people. We're new creation people. We have the Word of God. We have all of heaven backing us up. We have His Word. And we must take up these things and take our place. And we must begin to declare His Word. I want to give you an example. Every day we hear what's happening with the elections. We hear what's happening with terrorist attacks. We hear what's happening with attacks on our police forces and different things with racism and different things, rumblings of this hour. And I think that every day we have an opportunity to engage in these conversations, and anyone can engage in those conversations. But we, as God's children, can begin to arise. And instead of joining in the conversation, we can begin to declare God's word. And as we're immovable in this, did you know that God wants to collaborate with us to bring His will into the earth? And I think it's not so important. I mean, in November, someone will be elected to the office of the president. But what's even more important is that the elect of God take their place, the body of Christ, those that know Him, that are bought with His blood, and that have chosen to make Him their Lord and Savior. It is us who are going to arise and take our place in prayer and in the Great Commission and in proclaiming His word and bringing His love into our land and bringing unity with each other. That is what is going to matter. And our praying is going to be pivotal. Our praying will be more important than who is in office. Because whoever is in office can be influenced by the prayers of God's people as He orchestrates and directs us. I think even racism and division will be eradicated when the church decides we're not going to move. We're going to unite in prayer and in the word. And we're going to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God as workmen that don't need know how to be ashamed, but will accurately handle the word of truth. And so could someone come up and just pass out these declarations? I want to just close by, want to just pray some declarations over our land today. And can I encourage you, if you feel like giving up in any way, be encouraged today. Be encouraged that the Lord is with you. Be encouraged that you can abound in hope and love and God's presence today. And stay alert by on purpose spending time with the Lord, spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer. And make a decision that instead of saying what everyone else is saying, you're going to declare God's Word over your life, over your family. If there's something that you are very dissatisfied with in your life, begin to talk to the Lord about it. Begin to pray His word over it and ask the Holy Spirit to orchestrate this. And so let's just I want to just pray a few of these today because I think it's so important. As we're steadfast and immovable and abounding, that we begin to pray God's word over our land. So let's just say a couple of these declarations, beginning with the top where it says, I'm a new creation in Christ. Are you ready? Let's stand to our feet. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things become new. The Holy Spirit lives in me in power and is my continual teacher and helper. He gives me power to be a witness in this earth. I've been redeemed, forgiven, set free by the precious blood of Jesus. I receive forgiveness afresh today, and I'm cleansed of all unrighteousness. I am the body of Christ. I am the church, the army of God, the bride of Christ. Our commander-in-chief has commissioned me to pray and to go and to do his works. I'm not conformed to this world, but I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I know what the will of God is, and my prayers are availing much. Now, here's some prayers we can pray together as declarations. Instead of saying what the natural is, we can say these. My prayers are impacting my nation in incredible positive ways. And then according to 1 Timothy 2, my prayers for my national leaders are bringing peace, safety, and radical conversion to our land. From Judges 6, God is raising up men and women of courage, righteousness, and supernatural favor to guide us into a season of blessing as a nation. Genesis 18, the presence of the righteous in our land is protecting it from disasters, plagues, and poverty. From Daniel 1, there is an increasing amount of people that God is strategically placing in government, media, entertainment, education, and other key parts of society. From Acts 8, in a single day, whole cities and regions are being transformed by the love and power of God. Radical conversions are happening all across my nation, with people forsaking sin, coming to Jesus, getting water baptized, and becoming powerful leaders in our nation. Lord, we pray this, that for such a time as this, that we would be raised up to save our nation, to bring the gospel to the world. And so this is the way that we can begin to pray together. Instead of being worried, instead of being moved, instead of wondering what's going to happen, we know what God's will is, and yet we have the choice to arise and to decide to be steadfast, our feet firmly planted on God's word, making this the most important aspect of our life. Let's know the word. Let's speak God's word. Let's know how to pray the word as it is wielding a sword of the Spirit to establish his will, and know that God wants to collaborate with us, the head and the body collaborating together to bring his will to this earth. Remember how he taught us to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He needs us to pray this out, to pray this in to the situations in the earth. And that's why we must arise. We cannot give up. We cannot be derailed. We cannot be distracted. But we must arise as an act of our will. How many of you are going to be immovable by God's grace?
Yes.
How many of you are going to be steadfast by the strength of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
And how many of you are going to ask God every day to ask you to abound in his work as he works through you? Lord, we pray today in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, you're our helper and our teacher. We surrender to you today. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to be like Shammah and Eliezer, Lord, whose hands are firmly holding your sword, positioned in the middle of the field, in the middle of chaos, in the middle of the darkness, in the middle of our families, in the middle of the church, in the middle of our nation, in the middle, Lord, we choose to position ourselves and hold up your word and defend your will against the enemy who is already defeated. Teach us how to speak your word, pray your word, establish your word, and to be who you have made us to be. Father, we pray that as we decrease, you would increase in us. And Lord, I also pray that you would use every one of our personalities and the experiences of our life Lord, to reach and touch lives of people that someone else could not reach and touch. And so, Lord, we thank you today. We worship you. We thank you for this beautiful verse and the beautiful work of your Holy Spirit. And we receive this today, and we will arise and shine, for our light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. And Lord, we want to go forth strong in you and the power of your might. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. And if you have need of strength today, I just want to encourage you right now, receive his strength, because his strength is for you right now. If you need his peace, just receive peace right now. It's a free gift. If you need a big dose of God's love, receive it. It's already given for you. If you need more of his presence, Lord, thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, God bless everybody. Love you so much.